had a bit of space for himself. Brandt, and what a chance! It's finished by Moukoko!
Of Dortmund masterwork. It is a piece of meisterwerk!
Adeyemi into the area, rounds the goalkeeper, empty net! A one-man counter-attack!
Coming straight back with Marlon!
The long wait, the painful wait is over.
Hey, welcome back to the BVB podcast. My name's Jake, joined as always by Carver. How's it going, man? How you doing? Fresh off the Inter Milan Atletico penalties that we delayed recording slightly just to watch that game finish out. How you feeling, man? How are things?
It's going well. Good weather outside, and we're quarterfinals in the Champions League, so it's tough to have a bad day. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, I mean, weather's awesome. We also had the time change, so even though I cannot wake up in the morning, at least it's lighter, a little longer outside where we are in St. Louis. But yeah, we are recording right after the, obviously, Atletico and Inter result, but more importantly, right after Dortmund moving on in the Champions League. Of course, we'll get into that match, but we want to talk about the matchup against Werder Bremen first, before we get into that, and then we're going to preview the Frankfurt match a little bit later, talk through some other Dortmund stuff too. But I mean, let's start with Werder Bremen escaping with a 2-1 victory on the road. And I mean, we'll start with the lineup, but I mean, off the bat, this was an exciting match, I thought, in the like first half until the red card. I thought we looked good. I thought last week I was pretty, maybe a little pessimistic, more pessimistic than I usually am. But this, not, I guess it is pessimism, but I was like, I was hesitant to be optimistic, if that's a different way to put it. But the start of this match kind of won me over until the red card, and then we just kind of had to hunker down. But before we get into the match more and the first half, specifically, let's start with the lineup. We had Kobel back in goal, so we had a few returns to this match. Rierson at right back, Sule and Schlotterbeck are two center backs, and Mattsson at left back. So, I mean, I would say we have our best two fullbacks finally back, both playing, both healthy, which is good to see. And then it's cool to see Sule get some time too, because I thought he had a fairly decent match. And I feel like Hummels is probably coming off. Was he coming off of some kind of sickness? So,
not really. I think we're just all in agreement rotating. That he's easily our best center half, so we're trying to save him for the biggest games of the season.
Yeah, which I'm not mad about, but also happy to see Sule like get some minutes and, right, and do well also. Then we had Chan and Sabitzer, two holding mids. Sancho, Brandt, and Malen are attacking mids with Füllkrug up top.
Yeah, I didn't have much of any thoughts outside of obviously saving Hummels for the PSV game. Pretty decent shape, 4-2-3-1. It's a good way to get, you know, Sancho and Malen involved, both in their own ways. And now you have Brandt back in the central part of this team, still building himself back up to match fitness. And he got an assist this game, but you can really start to see the confidence start to flow in him a little bit towards this game, but also definitely in the PSV game. And our team really runs through him when it comes to being the center of the park. So if he's not on it, the team is likely not on it as well. So good to see Brandt is starting to get things clicking again, because he is vital in this team.
Yeah, and in this match, or I guess before this match last week, I think we were kind of hitting a point with shifting over to Sancho a little bit, who had a great game and now scoring again in the PSV match too. I think we're almost hitting a point where, like, okay, we need to see things to start to click a little bit more. Like, we've seen him kind of play with confidence, take guys on, but maybe lose the ball, maybe not making the right decision. And I mean, there's a lot of reasons that we could be seeing that, because he hasn't played football in a while. I think we're a little more surprised to see him jump back in and slot in so quickly. But it's like, now you've had quite a few matches, now we need to see you actually produce. And kind of, I mean, right on cue, Stefan from the Yellow Wall, who was with us last week, called it. He's like, Sancho is going to score this match. And I mean, that's exactly what we got.
Yeah, we've always seen the confidence from him from the very first match returning as a Borussia, but we're just looking to get him back up to fitness. And it seems like he's pretty much there and just Now it's just a matter of the decision-making, at least in my opinion. Can he get the ball off his feet a little bit quicker? Can he make better decisions whenever he has the ball at his feet? And you are seeing that is starting to happen more, and he's going to get rewarded more and more as time goes on too when he gets himself into those positions. You saw it here against Bremen. You saw it against PSV. So, yeah, happy for him to get on the score sheet and, you know, contribute to some goals.
I mean, I already said it, like, this half got me really excited. I think I dropped in our Discord. I was like, I'm back. I'm officially hyped. I'm very hyped to be a Dortmund fan again. Not that I wasn't falling away from being a Dortmund fan, but it can be tough sometimes, especially with the latest performances. But yeah, this performance, it was great. It was great to see Sancho, Brandt, and Malen cook. And the Malen acrobatic goal was just bicycle kick. Incredible. I mean, did you have any specific thoughts from the first half before we get in the red card, but any other things stand out to how we performed or why we're performing? Maybe, I mean, you touched on Brandt a little bit, but anything else?
Yeah, the Malen finish was great. Like you mentioned, the acrobatics from him. I also want to mention that that was like the first time in a very long time that we scored from breaking a line through our buildup. I mean, it's usually between, you know, insert who, whatever center half, just between those two, try to find a fullback, doesn't work, pass back to Kobel, hoofs it forward, hopes that Fulcrew can get a touch, and then we're on. But this was a buildup that was actually, you know, had some structure to it. We had the right, you know, space, appropriate spacing between players, and they had the, I think the pass came from Sula, if I'm not mistaken, and he was the one that broke the lines to find Brandt. And yeah, what a great goal from a build-up play. It's something you very, very rarely see in a Dortmund team nowadays.
Yeah, it was an awesome strike by Brandt too. I mean, I want to say it was an easy save. Like, it was a pretty difficult, really good hit ball, difficult to save. And I think he just kind of patted it out or punched it out, which is where Malen was able to get in there. Win control, kind of like, I feel like he had no right winning that ball. I mean, he popped it. It wasn't the best touch, is why it got popped up in the air, how it did. But that led to him being able to do the karate sidekick, bicycle kick, which was just nuts. And like I said, it felt like he had no right getting to that. But yeah, it was incredible. And yeah, the whole half, like you said, like, good football. We get that goal from breaking lines. Like, it looked like we were performing really well until, well, don't want to skip over the Sancho goal, but we got the Sancho goal a little bit later, and I think 36 minute until the just crazy red card that Sabitzer got. I've seen some people. What are your thoughts first? Because I have mixed feelings. I think it's crazy just because, like, the fact that we were playing so well and then this happens and we have to completely change how we're playing. But I know there's some people are on both sides, like, whether it's yellow or red. Like, did you have thoughts on it? I don't remember what you said when we were texting.
Well, first and foremost, it's just a dumb foul to even concede in the first place. I mean, the halftime whistle is just about to come around the corner. Of course, you're a goal up. It's just completely unnecessary. He's in the middle of the park. Bremen didn't
really... Two goals up at that point.
Oh, two goals. Yeah, excuse me. Bremen didn't really have a, you know, big threat when they were in the middle of the park there, so just a dumb foul to concede. I think it's just one of those, like, orange cards. And I know I don't want to make that sound like it's a cop out of an answer, but I'm not really sure if that was a red, but I can definitely see how it's like a yellow and even starting to turn to the other page. But either way, I don't think he should have been in that position to begin with.
Yeah. Very dumb foul. I don't know. I think it's definitely a yellow. I think even the commentators seemed surprised when he pulled out the straight red. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit of, like, luck that went against him to where it kind of looked like he just, like, kicked him in the Achilles straight up, like, studs out. But I also think his cleat got stuck in the guy's boot, which that sounds bad enough already. Like, that sounds like maybe it should be a red, but it almost, like, overplayed it because his cleat was stuck. It looked like he went in a little harder than what I think he actually did. But either way, yeah, you shouldn't be making a foul like that, especially, like, timing scenario in the game. Just he also didn't look surprised at all when he got the red.
Right, he didn't even contest it. And, you know, he's a Bundesliga veteran too. He's like a very seasoned player at this kind of level, so it was just a bit baffling that and bizarre that whole scenario was there to begin with. It's like, bro, you're professional.
Yeah. So obviously we go down a man right at the half. And so because of that too, we made some sub changes. Hummels came on for Malin, which, like, I get the sub. I was really bummed it was Malin because I thought he was playing really well. Not only his crazy goal that he had, but I thought he was playing well overall. And I think, like, FotMob still rated him from playing one half at 7.6, which you only play half a match and get that high of rating is pretty good. So I was bummed to see him go out. And then there are quite a few other changes too later on in the second half. I mean, the second half was nothing really. We were just playing a lot more defensively. Couldn't play the football that we were playing in the first half. I mean, any thoughts on the second half? Obviously, they got a goal back. We were under quite a bit of pressure, but we were able to withstand it, which the positive takeaway is we played really well until circumstances changed that. And then we were just able to hold on and secure the 3 points regardless, but gave up one goal, obviously. Did you have any thoughts from the second half specifically?
Yeah, the second that Sabitzer starts walking off the field, I was like, damn, this was a pretty, at least somewhat fun game to watch for those first 40 minutes. And I know exactly how the rest of this game's going to go. We're going to play fuck you football with, I think, what do we look like, a 5-3-1 for most of that game, just holding on for dear life and just hoping Bremen that is not going to have the quality to actually come back and finish off a chance, because it was just a very, very standard Dortmund second half. And I'll be a little bit lenient just because of the red card. Yeah. And of course, you're away too. It's a difficult challenge, of course. And, you know, it's a big ask, but at the same time, it was just exactly what we were predicting. What was, at least what I was predicting, was going to happen the second that that red card was shown.
Yeah. I'm definitely more optimistic coming out of that game because we still pulled out the win and we played like that again because of the circumstances. But we've also seen matches where we play really well. I mean, PSV is going to be, we'll talk about it with PSV maybe, like, we play really well at the beginning and then we just fall off completely. Like, we've seen matches like that where we still have 11 guys. So I was more happy that we got away with the win. And like, but it's, again, it's frustrating because you're like, man, well, if we played with 11 guys the full match, if Sabitzer didn't make that red or get that red card, could we have cooked them 4-0? Like, could we have kept that going in the second half? Maybe not. Maybe it was almost a blessing to have to just drop back. But I don't know. It's hard to say. But I'm glad we got the 3 points, and that's all that matters, really. And a little bit of
it is. It is all that matters. But I will say it is pretty telling that we knew exactly what was going to happen. In hindsight now, looking at this PSV game, and this team just can't really carry on and play or put a boot on a throat for 90 minutes and just being on the throttle. It's really just kind of stop and go. And if we have any sort of momentum, we can kind of give it back to a team willy-nilly. So,
yeah. Well, let's just get into PSV. I think that kind of wraps Werder Bremen. Before we start, though, I am going to give a plug to our Discord, which I forgot to do last week. If you're not already in our Discord group, or if you don't know what Discord is, it's kind of like a fancy group chat, but we kind of use it to connect and talk with not only us, but other Dortmund fans, like throughout the match week, during the match, post-match. And I did, just threw in some, or just asked for initial feedback and thoughts and some questions coming out right after the PSV match. So kind of instant reactions. And if you want to join a Discord, if you're not a part of it already, you can find the link to join in the description of this episode. But pulling it up real quick, our homie Chaz, aka Dazzle on Discord, said this is in reference to these last two matches. That's how I'm going to take it. But did wonders for Terzic's case to keep his job, and also went
for
on
now,
to say
for now. For I think now. At most it bought him just a little bit of time. But I know we all can have like a consent that Vodka is pretty delusional, but still it only buys Terzic a little bit of time.
He also went on to say Terzic also needs to be real about Meche and his limitations. Came off the bench and put us in danger with his turnovers, same with Adeyemi.
Yeah,
so I just like that at the same time he's like, ah, but yeah, did a lot for Terzic, but at the same time you still, why are you playing Meche? Shout out to In Melons, who said, still feels like we can play, we can't play a dominant game from start to finish, always ends with frantic defending in our third. And then one more from Chris, kind of on the Mecha thing too. He said, I'd be fine with no more Mecha for multiple reasons. He's not an impact midfielder. I know there's been a lot of Mecha talk. We've done a lot of Mecha talk. But appreciate you guys reaching out, connecting on Discord. Again, you can find the link. And we got some more questions too, which we'll bring up, I think, as we keep discussing. Maybe as we get in the Champions League talk a little bit more. But yeah, Carver, like you touched on it a little bit. Do you think any of the... Yeah, maybe this buys him a little more time. I have said it before. I think he's good until the end of the season. I don't think they're going to make a change. That's not what I wish would happen. I wish they would make a change already. Right. But I don't think they're going to do it now. I think it's going to be at the end of the year. Do you think we are seeing any kind of improvement? And is it because of Terzic? Is it the assistants? Are we getting better? Is the main question, I guess.
That's the simplest question. I think that's a loaded question, but these last two games, they're small samples. But you can say there has been some decent football play. The first 20 minutes of this game against PSV, yep. In my opinion, I can't think of a better 20-minute spell, at least in the opening part of a game all season, than here. I mean, you have Ryerson was out some sort of it was uncomfortable in some sort of area, I can't remember. So he was out for this game. Sula has to take his place as a fullback with Shannon Hubbles beside him. So, you know, we could also switch to a back three if needed, yada, yada. I get how that can look defensive whenever we look at this lineup. And it just goes to show you how much investment that we need still in the fullback department, because Terzic clearly does not trust Wolf. But man, we looked the complete opposite right out of the gate of this game. And the belief and the confidence just oozing from the players. Players like I already mentioned, like Brandt, I mean, he was really purring at the beginning of this game. Sancho, of course, both of those players are just full on back at this point and just generally playing on the front foot, 1-2 passing. I know you and I always really mentioned that we want to see more of that. Just our attack and our ability to repossess the ball was beautiful. It was really just, I was just in awe for those first 20 minutes. I was in almost disbelief, but right after I mentioned that on our Twitter, we just slowly slipped back into our old ways. I have no idea what happened, given there wasn't really any stoppages of play. It's just PSV. Well, we allowed PSV to grow back into this game and retain some possession, create some, at times, I mean, some half chances, albeit, I mean, the defense did a really good job of limiting to that. But yeah, there was those first 20 minutes. I just wanted to mention, you have to really savor those moments.
Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, too, like Mattsson had a shot on goal that I think was just pushed over the top in the first minute. Then we see the Sancho goal in the third, I think, so shortly after that. I'm going to run through the rest of the lineup, too. Mattsson, obviously, at left back. Sabitzer and Özcan to holding mids or double pivot. We had Malen, Brandt, and Sancho up top again, and then Fulkrug. So, I mean, a couple changes from the match on the weekend, but maybe a little more similar than what I would have thought, given like that where I have two matches in a week. But I mean, they looked up for it, Malen and Sancho. Obviously, Sancho gets the goal. Brandt looked fine too, so I'm not mad about it. I think we might see a little more rotation coming up on the weekend. But yeah, like you said, started fantastic. It was awesome. It looked like we were just going to cruise. It looked like we had, I mean, playing at home, we were fired up. We knew we had to get the result. And we started super strong and then started to just fade, like you mentioned. I think even at half, like at the halftime stats, even though we started to fade maybe after 20 minutes, but halftime stats still looked like we were in a lot more control, had a lot more passes, a lot more possession. I think we had like 10 shots to their one.
Better XG, yeah.
Their XG was 0.8, maybe 0.08, I think. Like, so, yeah, and then the second half, like we were playing, like we got a red card. We're just under pressure, especially towards the end. Obviously, they're pushing hard to try to get back into it. But yeah, we just couldn't. We had a couple of chances. Obviously, there was the Fulkrug goal that got called offsides. But I mean, just under significant amounts of pressure. And it was, I don't know. What, like, why can't we put it together? And that's more rhetorical. I'm not asking you that loaded question, but it's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm really not sure what happened. I wanted to touch on a few more of these stats. I mean, the first half, we had 60% possession compared to their 40. And then in the second half, completely flipped. They had 65% of possession and we only had 35. And the XG was 0.65 for us in the first, and we ended with 0.82. So yeah, you were right there. But look how much just like impotent we were and toothless in that second half. I mean, on our home turf, mind you, too, this is a game where we are at home and you are expected to dominate and just control the flow of the game for, I mean, preferably 90 minutes. I guess that's too much to ask, but at least it should have been at least like a bit over an hour. But we're talking 80% of this game we were not in control of. So that does not change my opinion of anything I've said in the past few months about Terzic and his coaching style and just the lacquer of really like the patterns and passing patterns that we had that he tries to draw up. Because outside of those 20 minutes, I don't know what happened there. I don't know what happened afterwards, but it was just completely back to the standard Dortmund performances we've been seeing. I mean, outside of Hummels, again, aging like wine, and Kobel continuing to just drag this team, there wasn't many great performances. I think Sancho was rewarded man of the match, at least by UEFA or whatever, but that's pretty shocking compared to the performances that Kobel and Hummels had. I'm not trying to say, you know, have a go at Sancho by any means, but I just think the performances of those two were a lot more recognizable and should have had a bit more recognition.
Yeah, well, I wonder if that's almost like a FIFA PR play. They're like, oh, let's, because there's so much talk about Sancho anyway, right? So they're like, oh, he
continues
scored
to be
okay,
underrated, those two.
Let's give him the man of the match. But yeah, Kobel for me. And I saw the tweet that you had put out. I think it was a quote retweet of some Kobel stats. I just want to know if you could get into that for anyone who might not have seen it on Twitter, because it's Kobel. It's just Kobel. He's the best in the world.
Yeah, he simply put the best keeper in world football. I don't think that's that crazy of a statement for anyone that even mildly pays attention to Dortmund like the last calendar year. Look at almost, you know, 95% of his performances, and you could see how, again, this man just continues to single-handedly drag this team to the dirt to heights like the quarter finals of the Champions League this year. The stat was Dortmund's Gregor Kobel has conceded 32 goals, excluding own goals this season in all comps, 12.3 fewer than expected, according to Opta's XG model, which is the best ratio among goalkeepers in the top 5 Euro leagues. So there should have been 12 more goals conceded by Dortmund this year had it not been for Gregor Kobel. I mean, but you obviously, any listener, you didn't have to hear that to know how much talent this man has. Just on the naked eye alone, even if you don't know much about football, he is superhuman.
Yeah, and so the stat, I like that it says excluding own goals. I believe there was one, does it have the stat of own goals? I think there's one that I can think of, but if I'm remembering it correctly, it was something crazy. Like it bounced off the post and then off the back of him, like something
I could not
absurd.
Tell you what the own goal was. I cannot remember at all.
It wasn't a real Kobel own goal. I don't know. Anyways, he's phenomenal. He's amazing. And I do like anytime like the Champions League, when you get the typical, it's like the European commentators. And it just seems like they're always so blown away and they're like, oh, Kobel, like having a incredible game. It's like, no, that's just Kobel. It's just get on board. Just know that this is just Kobel. Yeah. This is what he does. But I like hearing the perspective of the guys who just don't follow as closely and hearing how incredible they think he is, even though they think he's having an incredible game.
Like he's overperforming when really this is just who the man
is. Just incredible.
He just delivers.
And then bless up Royce. When we're under significant pressure they had multiple chances at the end that they should have put away. And we're kind of got lucky that they missed. They had some big oofs. But then Royce.
No, he's definitely a player that can, I mean, help in moments like that just because of the mentality he brings, his pressing style, especially whenever we're a team that sits deeper and deeper back as the game goes on. So it was nice to have him, you know, come on for a multitude of reasons. But yeah, put the game away and there's no better man that deserves a goal like that than him, and just want us to announce an extension already.
Sign the man.
Oh, also, I got to also mention he should have had an assist too for Fulkrug right when he came on. I forget if that was his first touch of the ball or not. Maybe I'm misremembering, but that goal is just, I mean, the called off goal, the offside call was abysmal. I'm still looking at it now, and I have no idea how, I don't know. I think football is like sleepwalking to a dark place whenever we start making those calls like that, which in Champions League and specifically against Dortmund happens time and time again. I mean, UEFA clearly has a vendetta against us.
Yeah. I think the tricky thing, like, I think it should have been a goal. But like, the tricky thing is, it looked like, was there someone behind Fulkrug? Like, they almost blended together on the video that I saw, at least. Right. I didn't see like the in-depth replay or anything. I was like packing up at work during in that moment where I should have been paying a little more attention. But like, I could see why they almost made a mistake. But I'm like, I don't think Fulkrug was offsides necessarily. I think there's a little bit of confusion. I don't know if you have any other insight on that, but if I just
I'm just talking about like the still image I've been looking at on Twitter for a while. I don't know. It's a very bizarre decision.
Yeah, but I mean, back to Royce, hell of a ball, and it was good. Although it got called off, like, good on Fulkrug. Like, that's what I love about Fulkrug too, just being able to like get into those positions.
Mm-hmm.
Who now Champions League will call it an illegal position because he was in offsides. I don't agree, but getting in that position and to have that touch too, to bury it was clutch. Although it didn't count, but I'll still say it's clutch.
Right.
So officially moving on, though, did get the win, got the second goal to put it away right at the death. But moving on to the quarterfinals, who possible opponents? Manchester City, Real Madrid, PSG, Bayern, Arsenal, Barcelona, and as we mentioned, Atletico Madrid, the big dogs. It's just the big guys everywhere you look.
I think we're going to get ripped apart next round, really, no matter who it is. Also, crying and pissing and shitting if we draw Real Madrid, because I'm not about to have Jude Bellingham come into our house and pull some shit. I can't handle that emotionally right now. So either way, no matter who we draw, I am not excited whatsoever. But if it's Real Madrid, I'm going to be crying and pissing and shitting.
On the Discord, shout out to BlakeB22. Because I asked, like, who do you want to see in the draw? He just said, I don't know. Some really tough teams, and I'm hoping it's not Man City or Real Madrid. I mean, yeah, we got could face Haaland, we could face Jude.
I think from a neutral perspective, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
I mean, you would want to say Bayern is arguably the most beatable team out of these, but at the same time, if there's any team that could not beat Bayern in a situation like this, it would be Dortmund. Like, we consistently never rise up to the challenge in the last at least 5 years against Bayern. So it sucks that, like, in my opinion, the most beatable team on here is almost unbeatable for a team like Dortmund. So other than that, I would probably, I guess, go Arsenal or Barcelona, given the disarray at the top bottom of Barcelona and, you know, Xavi being out the door this summer. But that's just off the top of my head too. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I mean, I was going to get into like preferences too. Like, I would prefer Arsenal. I feel like, I know Arsenal's been performing extremely well as of late, but I also think there's a blunder in them. And I just want to beat Arsenal. I have a thing against Arsenal. My younger brother's an Arsenal fan. Ironically, the same younger brother who helped get me into Dortmund, but I have a feeling that match he'd be strongly cheering for Arsenal. But I think they have enough of a blunder in them that we could get a result. I also just kind of have that same feeling about Barcelona. So those are the two I'd like to see. I would absolutely not want to see Bayern, because I think I've said it before. I feel like, even though it's like the rival, quote unquote rivalry, like, I just see them as our bogey team. Usually bogey teams are like someone way underneath you, but it's just the fact that we can never step up. Like you said, we can never rise to the occasion. I think the pressure is too high, and I would not want Bayern at all. I feel like it's going to be Man City or Real Madrid for the Bellingham aspect. I feel like we've gotten Man City a couple times before, like, and because of, maybe I feel like there's always dark arts at play, and we're somehow going to get Real Madrid for the Bellingham aspect.
Yeah, or City for the Haaland one. Again, either way, I'm not excited.
We've seen that show before, though. They got to spice it up with the Bellingham.
Yeah, yeah. They want to make us cry from all angles.
Oh, I don't want to think about it.
Well, let's think about our next. We don't have to worry about that for a while because the draw is not until Friday. We have another big game coming. Well, we have this whole next like month and a half is going to be ridiculous. If anyone hasn't looked ahead past Frankfurt, it's going to be a stretch of, well, Frankfurt this weekend, then following it's going to be Munich away, and we have Stuttgart, then we are away at Gladbach, then we host Leverkusen, then we're away at Leipzig. So for the next 6-7 fixtures, it's going to be a real grind, and I'm afraid that this team is going to get another, I mean, for the fans, undeservingly, but like a major reality check again that this team needs major work. But yeah, we start with Frankfurt this weekend at home in the reverse fixture, just barely pulled out a win last time. It was a 3-3. We should have pulled off that win. I remember us having different chances in that game, but still, it is going to be a big game and a very entertaining one at that.
Did you say we're going to get a reality check in this game specifically, or in
these next 6-7 games in general? I think we can get a win versus Frankfurt. We usually perform pretty well against them, especially at home. But after that, I feel like it's going to be pretty dark for a few weeks. I mean, just strap in.
Like, because of history, and I mean, the last match was crazy. I think we go down 2-0 pretty early and then come back, and then it's just crazy, and it ends 3-3. And we did that away. So, in like how we played them before at home, like I want to say because we're at home, because of the previous matchup, I want to say, yeah, we're going to get a good result. But then looking at these last two matches, even though we started well against PSV and we got the result, it still worries me that we can't, again, like we had the comment in Discord, like we can't put on a full 90-minute performance. And because of that, I'm always worried. If we start playing well, then I'm like, cool, everything's going great. I'm hyped. I'm ready to go. And then that can just quickly change in the 90-minute match, which is, it makes it hard. And
I don't think this weekend is going to be much different. I mean, looking back in just the past 5, 6, 7 games against Frankfurt, besides the 4-0 whenever we beat them in 2023, when we were at home, it's been a goal fest either way, right? I mean, you have your 3-3 in the reverse fixture, 4-0 before that, the 2-1, 3-2, 5-2. So there's going to be a lot of goals in this one. I think it's going to be back and forth. It's going to be gritty. Two teams that really need to get these points. I mean, Frankfurt are now just a few points behind Leipzig, and they still sit in a Europa League spot, so they're trying to keep their position there. And of course, we still want to try to solidify ourselves in the top four and keep Leipzig at bay. So yeah, like I said, back and forth. I'm going to go 3-2 win Dortmund. I think we maybe go down early first. We claw ourselves back into it. Then towards the end of the game, they score, and then it's just going to be a nervy end, but we pull out the win.
Do you think we play better if we go down? Like, do you think, is that ever enough motivation to come back into things? Or, I mean, like what we saw against PSV, like we start really hot and then we just fade. Like, do we need that? Do we need it to go down? I remember early on in the podcast too, like in the Holland days, like I feel like we'd always concede. We usually conceded first. It seemed like it was a given, but I was never worried because I knew like Holland could always just do something crazy. But it seems like now, like, do we almost need that? We need that. We need to get slapped in the face before we can turn things around. Like, have you seen that more often than not? I guess so.
I think Terzic, though, one of his biggest things is wanting to stabilize ourselves a bit more since he's been manager. I mean, you look at our scores, our results this season. And of course, there's some like bigger score lines here and there. But for the most part, you have like your 1-1s, 2-1s, 1-0s. And of course, the play style is different too, outside of just like the results on paper. But I think Terzic is wanting to kind of minimize those kind of games. So we're not having, I mean, we still like are having heart attacks, but just in different ways or for different reasons. And we mentioned last week with Stefan too, like there have been games this season where that has happened, where we had to go down just to wake up against Gladbach. And then you had against Hoffenheim too. And, you know, then we start to wake up, and because the game is in actual danger, and then we can press forward. But yeah, I mean, Terzic again wants to try to minimize those kind of results and just games at Dortmund.
I didn't give a prediction, but I'm going to be crazy. 4-3, goal fest, let it rain down. 4-3 Dortmund win, Mokoko thriller at the end. to get it.
Especially too, because like you have no idea what this midfield is going to look like. I mean, for the first 20 minutes against PSV, Sabitzer and Özcan looked incredible. And I mean, Sabitzer's this game in general looked pretty decent, but he's going to be suspended for two games. Yeah, he's suspended against Frankfurt and against Bayern. Mecha is clearly not even close up to fitness. You saw that really in abundance. He's against PSV, but just these last two games too. So it's going to take a while for him to get back to that short window of form that we saw right before he picked up his injury to begin with. And Özcan, I mean, yeah, he looks great whenever he's trying to win the ball. But the second he actually has possession, it's similar to what Chan does, right? I mean, not a lot of pressure, and then he just kind of coughs up the ball, or he has like a very safe and at times, most of the time, regressive pass. So it's a lot of it's going to come down to like our fullbacks playing wide, trying to exploit space at behind with players like Malen, Sancho, Adeyemi, et cetera. And it's going to be chaos. Like Stefan said against Bremen, I think the chaos is going to carry on into this fixture for sure. And then God help us after that. At least we have a little bit of a winter break after that. International break after this Frankfurt game. And we could regroup and have some sort of plan to just not get 4-0 at Munich.
Yeah, that'd be great. Do you have any, I guess, quick lineup question? Do you think we see Mecha start with Chan? Or I guess it could be Özcan. Like, do you think
I think it's going to be Özcan Mecha and Chan.
Okay, I didn't think of, I forget Özcan. That's why. It's like, Mecha start, or are we going to change the formation to just have like maybe a 4-1-4-1?
I think it's going to be Özcan and Chan, which is gross to say. I think that double pivot, it already is. Even with everyone available, it's not great, but just the thought of those two is very scary. Again, against opposition these next few weeks that are, for the most part, very, very high quality.
The other thing I was going to point out on the league table, we're sitting in fourth, 47 points. We're 6 points behind Stuttgart in third. Leipzig right behind us on 46 points. That's kind of like the battle we have, like trying to hold on to this Champions League spot. They're playing Köln this weekend, if you want to keep up to date with that, because I mean, it's tight. Like if we drop points there, right there, and again, this is like our hope. I see us like holding on to this fourth spot or like dropping out. I don't think we're going to go any higher than this. So kind of have this battle kind of have this battle with Leipzig for the remainder of the season. So if you want to keep an eye on them, that's
and Leipzig also have. I mean, of course, they have some tough games, but they have a much more winnable and achievable rest of the season, especially too, in that they don't have Champions League. They could just, or Pokal, they can solely focus on the league, which makes me a bit more nervous as well. And I can't imagine Stuttgart dropping many more points either. I mean, they still have Leverkusen and Munich to play, so maybe. But even then, right now, we still sit 6 points behind them, so they would have to lose both and then some for us to even get a sniff of them.
I mean, we also still have Leverkusen in Munich to play too. So,
oh God, I forgot about Leverkusen. I mentioned that too, but I already, Jesus Christ. Which we have a fun guess for that one too, but we'll get more in detail about that later.
All right. So just to wrap, Frankfurt, we're at home this Sunday, 12:30 Eastern kickoff time. If you don't already, follow us on the socials, Twitter and Instagram at the BVB pod. Completely gave up on Threads. I said I was going to do it and it's dead.
I posted the other day for the episode with Stefan. I'm trying
on Threads.
If anyone's listening here and we've gotten some followers in there, I'm trying to remind myself that it exists.
They might have followed, but I think it's because they might have accidentally set up an account and Instagram automatically followed because they are following our Instagram. I don't know if they're even using it, but anyways, Twitter and Instagram at the BVB pod. You can email us at the BVB pod at gmail.com if you're not on socials. And again, if you're not on socials, you can join our Discord because, I mean, if you're not on socials, that's probably a really good way to just connect and again, meet other Dortmund fans. And talk with them, not just us, but you can find the link to the Discord in the description of this episode and the links to everything else as well. And we appreciate you guys hanging out and we will see you later.